It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
That's actually the crux of it, that sometimes the COS spouse has started the petitioning for their spouse, or they never have, and that's another tool to use to engage in domestic violence against your spouse, to say, you know, I'm not going to file your papers, or if you report what I've done to you to the police, you're going to get deported. So this way, as long as that victim is married to a U.S. citizen or green card holder spouse, and they haven't, even if they filed for divorce, as long as the divorce is within the past 2 years, they can still file as the self-petitioner.
Sushila Varkey, attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, talks about how undocumented victims of domestic violence can get legal status without help from their battering spouse. And during this week's question and answer session, we explain where to go for help if you owe back taxes to the IRS. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show was supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 93, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR, 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. State attorneys general across the country and consumer watchdogs like the Better Business Bureau accused the debt settlement industry of fleecing financially troubled Americans of their last dollars with dubious promises. Consumers rarely emerge from debt settlement programs with their credit card balances eliminated, these critics say, and many wind off worse off with severely damaged credit, ceaseless threats from collection agents, and lawsuits from creditors. Last year, some 250 debt settlement companies had more than 425,000 customers who had enrolled roughly $12 billion in credit card balances. As the industry has grown, so have allegations of unfair practices. Since 2004, at least 21 states have brought at least 128 enforcement actions against debt relief companies. According to the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, complaints received by states more than doubled between 2007 and 2009. The FTC recently released a video for consumers who are facing debt collection. The video is at www.ftc.gov/moneymatters, a site that includes information for consumers on managing credit, dealing with debt, and many other financial topics. In other news, state public benefit agencies increasingly rely on their websites to provide information to the public and as a means of applying for Medicaid, food stamps, and cash assistance. But a new report by the National Center for Law and Economic Justice finds these websites are inaccessible to people with disabilities who use assistive technology and difficult for everyone to navigate. The report, The Closed Digital Door, discusses findings from web accessibility research of state and local public benefit agency websites in 5 states. Basic information on how to apply for benefits was difficult to find, and accessibility problems made it difficult or impossible for people with disabilities to apply for benefits online, request an application, search the website, or contact the agency by email. All this was in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act and Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. As the federal and state governments prepare to implement health care reform and millions of additional people become eligible for Medicaid, it is critical that state public benefit agency websites are accessible to people with disabilities and usable by everyone. The report may be found at www.nclej.org/documents/theclosed-digital-door.pdf. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You are listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
It's time for the answer to our weekly quiz called, Is That Legal? Last week we gave you a legal question and 3 possible answers, one of which was incorrect. Here's last week's question. Which 2 factors must a judge look at when deciding child custody? A. Each parent's past role in caring for the child. B. Each parent's willingness to cooperate with the other parent. Or C. The preference of the child. The correct answers are A. Each parent's past role in caring for the child. And B. Each parent's willingness to cooperate with the other parent. The preference of the child is a factor only for older children, generally for teens and preteens, and then only if the preference is reasonable. Later in the show, we'll give you this week's quiz. Is that legal? For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. It's time for this week's question and answer. Could you tell us your name and where you're from?
My name is Ernest from Chester, Virginia.
Welcome to the show. What question do we have this week?
Yes, my question for this week is, I'd like to know, what does a man do when he loses the old IRS and loses his job? What legal action can he take?
And let me ask you this, the taxes that you may owe or to the IRS, from how many years ago are they?
Approximately 2 years ago.
What you need to do in a situation like that, and what anyone listening to this needs to do in a situation like that, is to contact an organization called the Community Tax Law Project. Let me give you their phone number. It's 804-358-5855. What the Community Tax Law Project is an organization of volunteer tax attorneys. This does not cost you anything at all, and you're eligible for their services if your income is up to 200% of poverty. What they'll do is they'll put you in contact with a volunteer private attorney who does tax work. They will contact the IRS, determine what the situation is with your taxes, and make arrangements with the IRS and also with you, to get those old taxes taken care of. Now, sometimes it's a problem of you didn't file a return. Other times you did file a return and it was incorrect. Other times you may have owed taxes and you didn't pay it. Whatever the problem is, the worst thing you can do is to ignore it. The worst thing you can do is to pay no attention to the tax problem and hope that it goes away. It's not going to go away. The IRS basically has powers far greater than any other collection agency, and they can find out where you work. they can garnish your bank account, they can garnish your wages, and a lot of the bankruptcy protections that are available to folks for normal debts are not available if you've got recent tax debts, which is the reason I asked how long ago these taxes were. I believe you can't bankrupt taxes that are within the past 3 years, so you wouldn't be able to bankrupt them. But you can arrange with the IRS to get them repaid. You can get some of the penalties taken off. You can get some of the interest taken off. The IRS would really rather have some money in satisfaction of the debt than no money, and that's what the Community Tax Law Project does.
Yes, thank you. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and we're talking with Sushila Varkey. She is the domestic and sexual violence attorney here at VPLC. And this morning, we are going to be talking about federal immigration remedies available to victims of certain types of crimes. Welcome to the show, Sushila.
Thank you, Marty.
Now, the topic is a complex one. It's about immigration remedies available to victims of certain types of crimes. Just in brief, what are we talking about here?
Well, let me give you a little background on how I started getting involved in this type of work. About 2.5 years ago when I started at VPLC, I get some calls from victims of domestic or sexual violence who can't find attorneys or they are backed up and basically can't, legal aides are backed up and cannot take those clients even though they might qualify poverty income wise. So they will call me. I tend to get a lot of those calls. And I will say over the past 2.5 years, a lot of the calls I get from victims or from advocates on behalf of victims are about victims who are immigrants and who have problems with their documentation. They are either undocumented or relying on abusive partners to get their documentation to remain here in the United States. So what we are talking about are certain petitions that victims can file to obtain temporary status here in the United States without having to rely on their abusers or if they are victims of certain types of crimes.
Okay, so what are the basic types of remedies that are available to victims who are in that situation, who are undocumented, but they are victims of these crimes?
The ones I'll talk about today are the Violence Against Women Act, or VAWA, self-petition, and the U visa. So the VAWA self-petition is available to victims of domestic violence. The actual term they use is battery or extreme cruelty. And these are victims who are married to U.S. citizen or green card holder spouses.
Now, I gather that usually if a woman or, for that matter, a man is married to a U.S. citizen or a legal permanent resident and the spouse wants to become a U.S. citizen or legal permanent residence, then it's the spouse who does the petitioning. Am I correct about that?
That is correct. And a lot of the petitioners who qualify to petition on their own through the VAWA self-petition may have had their U.S. citizen or green card holder spouse begin documentation for them. They may have a conditional permanent resident status. That status, the concept is, the U.S. government doesn't want to support sham marriages, so they will give the immigrant a conditional status that lasts for 2 years. After that 2-year period is up, the U.S. spouse and the immigrant spouse come, you know, to the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services and have interviews. They're interviewed separately to determine if they are truly living together as husband and wife.
But obviously then something happens.
Or right.
Maybe the process was not started in the first place. And
exactly.
Something happens. And so the person who's undocumented wants to obtain some kind of status. What does she have to show?
Exactly. That's actually the crux of it, that sometimes the U.S. spouse has started the petitioning for their spouse, or they never have. And that's another tool to use to engage in domestic violence against your spouse, to say, you know, I'm not going to file your papers, or if you report what I've done to you to the police, you're going to get deported. So this way, as long as that victim is married to a U.S. citizen or green card holder spouse, and they haven't, even if they filed for divorce, as long as the divorce is within the past 2 years, they can still file as the self-petitioner. They have to show battery or extreme cruelty. That can be shown in a number of ways, through a protective order. It doesn't necessarily have to be a conviction of assault and battery against a family or household member. It can also be an affidavit from a licensed social worker who has been giving therapy to that victim. So there are other means with which to meet the standards. And the standards are interesting compared to the court cases that we're used to.
Well, and to get a protective order, we know the victim needs to show an act or threat resulting in injury or reasonable fear of injury. So to get a civil protective order, there need not be an actual injury or physical touching, but something that would put somebody in reasonable fear of injury, such as, you know, guy holding a baseball bat over her head or pointing a loaded weapon in her direction. Is that going to meet the test of battery or extreme cruelty for this VAWA self-petition?
It can. I should say about the domestic standard that, as you described, that is what family abuse is. From what I understand, in most courtrooms, however, you usually have to show some physical injury and the fear of further physical injury. As for the VAWA self-petition, you don't necessarily have to have physical injury to be able to meet that standard of battery or extreme cruelty. In fact, from my experience in talking to victims, whether they're undocumented immigrants or otherwise, they will say that the verbal abuse, the sort of mental coercion, that kind of abuse can be much more damaging and long-lasting. The effects of it can be much more long-lasting than recovering from physical injury. And the other thing I want to say about these petitions is they're all sent in via snail mail to the federal government. The standard is any credible evidence. So it's not the standards we're used to, like beyond a reasonable doubt or preponderance of the evidence. It's any credible evidence. So, for example, if the victim doesn't have a protective order, she felt she didn't speak the language, she didn't feel comfortable going forward and getting a protective order against her spouse. First off, for all of these petitions, she's going to have to write her own affidavit of her story. What happened? What kind of documenting the abuse? Why she needs to stay here, what the hardship would be if she had to return back to her home country or to potentially to her children, say she had U.S. citizen children. So she's going to be writing that kind of affidavit anyway. And then in order to show the extreme cruelty or battery, she could get an affidavit from a licensed social worker, a neighbor, somebody from the church. A number of different things would qualify.
Okay, so we have been talking about remedies that are available to victims who are married to a U.S. citizen or legal permanent resident. What about a victim who is either married to someone who is undocumented or someone who is unmarried? What remedy is available to those people?
That's a very good question, and it comes up quite a bit. I believe it was 2005 when the federal government passed a Victims of Trafficking Act, and one of the pieces of that is called the U visa. That is available to victims of certain types of qualifying crimes who possess information about the crime that happened, are helpful to law enforcement, and the crime happened either in the United States or was a violation of U.S. law. And basically that helpfulness aspect is kind of the crux of this type of visa. The point when this act was passed, the point was to encourage cooperation between law enforcement and immigrant communities and, you know, the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office or prosecutorial offices and immigrant communities. The helpfulness standard is met by having a form signed by either the head of the agency, so the chief of police or the Commonwealth's attorney in the Virginia jurisdictions, or his or her designated signer.
Now, I understand that next week there are going to be a series of clinics dealing with these issues to help victims in these situations file either or these petitions that they might be eligible for. Would you tell us about that?
Lakshmi Chawla, who is a principal in the Chawla Law Offices, an immigration law firm in the Richmond area, it sits on Virginia Poverty Law Center's board. We have been talking for really since almost when I started here about how to serve victims of domestic violence who are immigrants a little better. And we just decided, why don't we just start a clinic? There is already a clinic that serves immigrants in the Richmond area. It's run through the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in conjunction with Williams Mullen Law Firm. But from what I understand, that clinic serves all needs of immigrants. Our clinic is just focused on domestic or sexual violence victims who are undocumented. So if you already have your green card, you are not undocumented. We're not going to use that clinic to help someone get their citizenship, for example, after having their green card. It is really geared to the folks who are in dire circumstances and need temporary status right away. So our clinic is going to be on Tuesday, July 20th at 6 p.m. That's when clients are asked to come, 6 to 7 p.m., although attorneys will be there a little longer so we can take the time to look at our petitions. And that clinic will be at the University of Richmond downtown office, which is 626 East Broad Street. We do ask that clients complete intakes before the clinic and get them back to me or to Carmen Williams at the Virginia Sexual and Domestic Violence Action Alliance, or Paz Oaks at the Hispanic Liaison Office. And the Thursday clinic, we've been holding them twice a week, so every quarter. We start in October, December, April, and so the next one is, as I said, Tuesday, and then Thursday, July 22nd, also at 6 p.m., and that's going to be at the Hispanic Liaison Office, which is in Southside Plaza, 4100 Hull Street.
Thank you very much. We have been talking with Sushila Varkey. She is the domestic and sexual violence attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and we have been speaking about federal immigration remedies that are available to victims of certain types of crimes. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you, Marty. Take care.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
It's time for our weekly quiz called, Is That Legal? We give you a legal question and three possible answers, one of which is incorrect, and we give the correct answers next week. If you're the first to email the two correct answers, we'll post your name on our show's website and send you a free copy of the Virginia State Bar's Handbook on Your Legal Rights and Responsibilities. Here's this week's question. Which two things are true about security deposit in rental housing? A, the security deposit draws interest if held 13 months or longer. B, the landlord can use the security deposit for unpaid rent and for repairs beyond reasonable wear and tear. Or C, the tenant can pay the last month's rent with the security deposit.
If you know the two correct answers, email them by Friday to marty@cvlas.org and be next week's winner. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on this show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is now available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegebright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. A study of low-wage industries shows that 26% of surveyed workers are paid less than the minimum wage, and 76% are not properly paid for overtime, costing the average worker more than $2,600 a year. Join us next week when employment law attorney and friend of the show, Harris Butler, talks about wage theft, how to spot it, and what to do about it. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegebright.